This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. Appreciate you being with me. What money matter has your attention today? Chances are it's not a broad geopolitical concern that you're worried about. It's closer to home, like getting better returns on your 401k. That's what kinds of thing you worry about. Even though that geopolitical things could impact it, you're still more focused on your own personal, and rightfully so, your own personal goals and your own personal savings rate and how much money you have and what the risk you take. So how long do I have enough to retire? I had that question three times today. Do I have enough to retire? Three times. So that's the kind of questions you want. Maybe you're worried about health care or maybe the costs of health care in retirement, because there's costs, you know. You've got to be able to afford it. So I'm here to help if we can, maybe answer some questions, take a look at these things straight on, not try to avoid them. And we're heard, you know, Invest Talk is heard every day, Monday through Friday, on radio and up and down the California coast, and live streaming as well as podcasts. And we appreciate those people who subscribe to the podcast at iTunes and other places. But, you know, I hope it's handy for you. That's what I'm hoping. I hope it's a resource for information. We often get questions on this program about, is now the time to get in the market? Should I get in the market now? I get that a lot. The answer does depend on some situations, so your situational concern, you know, where are you in your life? But this has been studied to death. Should you get in slowly, dump it all in one time? And there was a big study by Vanguard, and their conclusion is get in all at one time. Now, that's a quote from Paul Boyce, Principal Investment Strategy Group of Vanguard. He says, if you're going to make a long-term investment in stocks, and there's the key, long-term, you're generally better off putting all your money in a diversified portfolio as soon as you can. And why they say that is because no one knows where the market's going to go. Look at me. I've been looking for a 10% correction for quite some time now, and I'm only getting, you know, 4 to 6% the last couple of corrections. One in January and one recently, and it's starting to come back. So I'm not getting our normal correction. So he's saying no one can predict that. So, and no one can, by the way. But you can play the odds. You can play the, you know, that you can do. But most people can't do that. Just get in the market. Diversify portfolio and not worry about it. But, you know, the market does go up and down, and I certainly don't want you to be buying on the high side. I just don't like it. We've had, 5 years of a market bull from 2009? And, you know, there's been 1 year in there that didn't do very good, but it's been a bull market all these years, for 5 years. You know, the last time we had this kind of, we had two others, 1982 to 1987. Same about 5 years, same returns, and 2003 to 2008, same 5 years. Both those times, after those 5 years, and those are the two most recent 5-year periods of a bull phase that is exactly or very close to the bull phase we have right now. Those two are the closest ones we've had, and both those ended pretty painfully, right? So, does that mean it's going to happen again? We don't know. No one knows. I can't tell you. I can tell you that I'm being defensive in numerous of my accounts. I'm still being defensive. But you know what? I could be wrong. No, who knows? But it just seems to be a smarter move. Because it, you know, you play the odds. You say, okay, I know the stock market has done very, very well. Why has it done very, very well? Because the Fed has been very generous with money supply. And they've been cutting money supply, cutting back QE. Hasn't affected the market much. Of course, think about it. Ever since they cut a QE, started cutting QE this year, the market is pretty much flat. Unless you're talking about, it's a little up on the S&P 500, down on the Dow, or very close to flat line. Pretty hefty downstroke in the Russell 2000, which are the small caps. The NASDAQ 100 is up, you know, 4 or 5 percentage points. So, you know, ever since they started cutting QE, the bull market we have in 2013 certainly didn't continue in 2014, right? Here it is in August. And if you count the entire market, it's just flat to barely up. Flat to barely up. That's not like 2013. And they're cutting QE. They're pulling some of the liquidity out. So, our listening line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can get through right now with any question you have, no matter what your money question is. I want to help. So let's get to the 24-hour listening line, 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Kevin in Poway. Call. Is that Kevin? Kevin is live. Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Got a question for you.
Sure.
Would you be kind enough to describe exit strategies? Apple.
Okay. Well, right now, it's broken to a new 52-week high, and it's been on an upward trend. I think you stay with Apple. You stay with it. We've owned it for quite some time, and I'll tell you the truth. I cut back a little bit on it about a month and a half ago, simply because it was getting, you know, it's getting too big of my portfolio. Not because I don't like it. I still like Apple. I think it's going to do well. But it's now again at a 52-week high as of today. And so what would be the exit strategy? Well, let's put it this way. It has broken the 20-day moving average three times in the last few months, but never has it broken the 50-day moving average. So maybe for this whole year, maybe if you want a tight stop, that would be $94.70, which is the 50-day moving average. Because it hasn't broken that. Once it breaks that, that's a new breakdown that it hasn't seen in a while. If you're a long-term investor, the 200-day moving average is all the way down to almost about $83. I would probably use the 50-day moving average as an exit strategy. If you want to exit Apple, which is $94.74. Remember that 50-day moving average will move every day as the stock goes up. That goes up with it.
I understand. Would you recommend using the house's money at that strategy, or pull everything out?
Well, if you're a long-term investor and you like Apple, I would only probably cut half if it breaks down, because I do think, and I want to stay with Apple for a while. I want to see what their new products are. I want to see, you know, how those sales go. They have two new phones coming out. They're going to have new sapphire covers, you know, glass covers, and not even glass, called sapphire. It's the precious stone that they, you know, artificially made. It's supposed to be much harder than glass. And, you know, they have new things coming out. I want to see what their iWatch or whatever it's going to be called, what that's going to be. So I think it's got some more momentum still behind it.
All right, Steve, listen, thank you very kindly for your words.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Kevin. Appreciate it. Although they get lots of negative press, many hedge funds are worthy of being part of a well-diversified portfolio. But what exactly is a hedge fund? Do you know what it is? You hear the term. You know when you hear it in the news. Either a hedge fund either blows up and loses all the money for its clients, or it's made hundreds of percent return in a year. That's what you normally hear about hedge funds. Either it's really good news or really bad news. But there's hundreds and hundreds of hedge funds doing different things that you never hear about. So what is a hedge fund? That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, your pay has been shrinking for 5 years. Pay. Income. 5 years. What is the impact of that? Now we're going to talk about that. Getting rich Everybody wants to get rich, right? Getting rich means more than just investing to get rich. It's more than that. You got to do something else. You can't just rely on your investments. Don't think you're just going to get rich by investing. That's a long term. Eventually, it will grow, but you have to also grow the money by putting money in. Continually doing that, let it build. We want to talk about that. And have you heard of Bill Fleckenstein? He's president of Fleckenstein Capital, and he was on Bloomberg TV the other day. I think we need to hear what he has to say. There's a lot of positive analysts on the market because there's good reason to be positive. Look what the market's done. And there's just now you hear a few voices out there being negative. And Bill Fleckenstein, is one of those voices, but he also freely admits that I can't tell you when. So I think that's interesting. Let's take a look at the market. We got those talking points, what we're going to talk about, but let's take a look at the market today. The Dow is up 80, the S&P up 10, and the Nasdaq up 19. The Dow is still not too close. It's got a few hundred more points to get to its new high, but the Nasdaq broached the new high a couple, 3 days ago. The Russell 2000, the small cap stocks didn't. That's still pretty low. But what's interesting is the Dow theory. Remember the Dow theory. The Dow theory states simply that when there is a pullback both in the Dow 30 stocks and the transportation, when there is a pullback, the problem is they use the word significant pullback. We haven't had a significant pullback. Or can you call this pullback we just recently had a significant pullback? Can you? If you do call it a significant pullback, 5, 6%, which I don't think is significant, the Dow theory says, then when the market recovers, but fails at breaking the old Dow and the transportation index. It's got to both. They both have to kind of be in conjunction. If it fails to break up the new highs, higher than that recent pullback, fails, and then drops below the recent low, you have a trend change in the market downward. Now, where are we in the process? If we call that a significant pullback, which again, I don't know if you can or not, you could call a significant pullback in the Russell 2000. See, that's why it's confusing. But maybe not the Dow. I don't know if it's significant. Anyways, let's say we had that significant pull down. Right now, we're still working toward the new highs for the transportation and the Dow. And this is where if it fails and then drops again below the most recent low, that you would have a trend change downward. Same thing is true on the other opposite, going the other way. But we've been in a bull market, so we're talking about we want to watch out for the trend change on the downside. Just observing, everybody. I can't tell you exactly what that means. I'm just telling you what you're observing. This is Invest Talk. We're here to help you answer your pressing money questions, if you have any. The old rule of thumb is that you should subtract your age from 100, and that's the percentage of your portfolio that should be in stocks. New thinking is that rule should be closer to 110, 120, and some don't even agree with the rule anymore. So do you want to talk about that? Give me a call at 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk.
Steve and Justin give you an inside look at how the pros do it, the strategies and tools the professionals use to grow and protect money. That's just one of the recorded webinars that you can access anytime when you're an InvestTalk insider. Join up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
Okay, so hedge funds. This is the problem when you hear the word hedge funds. Usually the word hedge means they hedge something, but it's kind of a misnomer because a hedge fund, as defined, can do anything. And each hedge fund has its own strategy. And it could be very conservative or very aggressive, super aggressive. This is the issue. When you invest in a hedge fund, they have a statement of what they're going to do. And you have to understand what that means. And this is how they are going to operate their hedge fund. They may buy only precious metal. They may do a very complex formulas of picking stocks, or One of the more common thing is that they will borrow money against the money in the hedge fund. In other words, use leverage. That's very common. And because of that leverage, in other words, they have $100 million, they may borrow another $50 million, invest $150 million. Or they may borrow twice as much, you know, using that. And therefore, the leverage could mean they have great returns or they can go bankrupt. But there are different hedge funds that don't borrow any. Again, it states it in the hedge fund. Each hedge fund is different, each one. Try a free personal risk analysis tool. It can really help open your eyes to learn something about yourself in the process, how much risk you're willing to take. Just look at the free personal risk analysis on InvestTalk.com. This is InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you'd like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. InvestTalk continues on this Tuesday. Four 401k options when you change jobs. That's our talking point on the next program, and we hope you'll be here. But why not talk to Steve today about your money question? 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Don't hesitate to call us with your question or share your investing story. I'd love to hear it. Tell us about the mix in your portfolio, maybe. 888-99-CHART. You can reach us anytime.
Hi, Steve. This is Dick calling from Sacramento. I'm just wondering about this stock that I saw in the newspapers called KKR, and I believe it's a REIT or something. I'm not too sure, but can you tell me the valuation and what's a good time to go in? I'm just looking at it. Great. Thanks for the show. Bye.
KKR, it's a $9 billion company, headquarters in New York. Provides global alternative asset management and capital markets transaction services to institutional investors. So it's part of the stock market. Asset management manages money for clients and companies and wealthy people. And it's growing pretty fast, at least the sales I've been. The most recent quarter in June, that was up 50%. Quarter before that, March, sales were up 100%. Before that, it was up 27, then 36, and 46, and 30. I mean, it's been up. Sales have been doing very, very well. Now, also, it's kind of cheap. The stock has not done that great this year. I mean, it's at the end of the year. Okay, at the end of the year, it was right around 23.50, and today is 22.96. So you can see it's not moving. PE is 9. It's almost an 8% dividend yield. They're going to earn $2.61 this year. They earned $2.30 last year. Next year, they're going to earn $2.59, earnings are not going up. So why isn't the stock moving? Why isn't it going up? Why is it not still rallying? Well, that's hard to answer. Excuse me. Anyways, return on equity is 29%. I mean, it's cheap. It's very inexpensive. Mutual funds have been slowly buying it, but it just hasn't done anything this year. So it's a good value stock right now with a good dividend, and I don't see why that should change. It's going to acquire 25% in Black Gold Capital Management, an investment management company it's going to do that. But, you know, the only reason why this stock could go down is if the market goes down. I think this... Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of fear in it that because it hasn't gone up at all this year, and there seems to be a lot of fear while it's growing sales and earnings pretty decently. So why is it market? And it has a great dividend. Why isn't it moving up? Now, that's a really good question. Why isn't it moving up? And I can't give you an answer. There's no answer here. You think it should be moving up, but it's not. That's KKR. KKR. Pretty good looking company fundamentally, just on a technically on a chart is not moving up. It's going sideways for months and months and months. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Your paycheck has been shrinking for 5 years. Shrinking. What do I mean by that? Well, it's easy. Your actual dollars from 2009 to now, the actual paycheck has gone up 10%. But when you factor in inflation, and we're talking about real dollars, it shrunk 0.3%. So, should you be surprised that our GDP growth is below par? For years and decades, we were growing 3.3%, our GDP, gross domestic product. And now we've been growing, what, 2%? So what's this done is consumer spending has been suffering. We're still behind the 1990s and the mid-2000 levels in consumer, despite all the jobs, despite low unemployment rate, besides what they tell you, consumers are spending below those levels. And remember, you have inflation from those periods. You have more workers for those periods, yet we're spending less. So, can't base unemployment rate or anything else on what's going on with the consumer spending. It's more based on you just not getting paid. Now, it might be there's too many part-time jobs. That's probably one of the problems. Not enough full-time jobs, too many part-time jobs, where people are counted as employed, but they're not fully employed. Therefore, they're making much less money. So their benefits from their unemployment has gone out, so now they're taking up part-time jobs, replacing what they were getting from unemployment maybe, but not really getting an increase in wages. And that has to change. Now, that can change as the economy grows and the job market gets tighter. That could change. That means wages could go up. And, if you stand back and look at it from an economic point of view, you want it. At one hand, you want it because it would increase buying power for the consumer and drive our economy to better numbers. On the other hand, will that spark inflation? And will that inflation take away the gains you have with higher wages? See, so it's a difficult situation to fix. I don't know how to fix that. Now, I will be in Northern California this week, meeting with a limited number of listeners for individual retirement account reviews, and I'll be in the San Jose on Thursday, the 21st. Then I'll be in San Francisco on this Friday at the Hilton Union Square Hotel. To take advantage of the August date, just go to investtalk.com, click on Make an Appointment. I'm Steve Peasley, and you're listening to InvestTalk. The number is 888-99-CHART.
Listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. How can you make your retirement nest egg last longer? What are some of the catch-up strategies to build up your savings account? Your questions are welcome right now on Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Invest Talk is live, 4 to 5 Pacific time. I'd love to talk to you. 888-99-CHART is the number, whether it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call anytime. Even now while we're live, you can call. And we'll get to the answer on the next program.
Hi, Steve. This is Joseph from the Bay Area. And I have a question. What is your opinion about HP, Steve? Thank you for your service.
Okay, what is my opinion of HP is his question. HP is Hemlock and Payne. Have you ever heard of Hemlock and Payne? It's engaged in a contract drilling of oil and gas wells. It's not a small company. It's an $11 billion company, and primarily in Northern and Southern America. That's where it does most of its business. It is growing in the high single digits, 13% most recent quarter, but quarter before that was 7%. Before that was 5. So we'll call it the high single digits right now. Pays a 2.8% dividend. Earnings are gone up 12% this year. That's what they'll go up to, $6.29. Next year is going to go up another 18%, $7.43. What's really interesting is this is a very steady company, very consistent company. Recently, it has fallen. You had an earnings miss recently, about a month ago, and it has fallen ever since there. So it's not done falling, but it looks like is trying, really trying hard with the market being up those last 3-4 days. This stock is not really recovering, but it did turn sideways. And right above the 200-day moving average, which is right at almost $99. Okay, and here it is trading at $99.28. So it's right above that 200-day moving average. And this is the key support level. It has to hold here. I would give it a little bit more time. But it was selling for about 100 and what was that number? Let me get that number close. $116 a month ago. Today it's 99. So here you got what, 16% pullback? That's good. That's what you want, pullback. It looks like we have a pullback, and the numbers still are pretty strong. And it's not cheap, P.E. ratio 16, but based on $7.43, you know, that P.E. ratio is pretty decent. And based on its growth rate, it's not great, but it's pretty good. So this is an opportunity to pick it up, but I would suggest that you wait to make sure it can hold here, because it's last 3 days, 1, 2, 3, it has bounced from its recent low. But that bounce is very timid. So you kind of want to wait to see, maybe have a little bit longer going sideways, or maybe at least start back up. That's what I do. HP, Hemlock and Payne, in the oil and gas drilling sector. 888-99-CHART, give me a call. We'll talk about whatever financial things you want to discuss. Getting rich, which we all want to get rich, right, means more than just investing. You can't just invest and get rich. You can, but if you're an average person, you don't have a lot of money to put in the market. It takes time to build it. So if you really want to get rich, you can get rich. You can do it. Try not to think you're going to get rich quick. That always irritates the heck out of me when people think they can make a killing. You can't make a killing in the market. You can make money, and occasionally you will make a killing in the market. But chances are much, much stronger that you'll just grow your money. But therefore, you have to do a couple of things. You have to continue to put new money in the market, especially when you're young and you're, you know, up to 50, 60 years old, you should be constantly putting money in that market every month, putting money away. You want to get rich, this is how you do it. Also, you need to step back and look at your lifestyle. Do you really need all those things you have? Would it be smarter to change that and maybe put some of that money that, instead of buying that 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee at Starbucks, maybe brew your own before you leave, put it in thermos. You ever think about that? Maybe you don't need that extra fancy stuff, car that you have just bought, and just increase your monthly payments. You don't need that. Do you need that? Use that credit card. These are the kinds of things. No debt. Now, you need to read a book called The Millionaire Next Door. It's on our book list on our website. Millionaire Next Door is talking about the very thing I'm suggesting. That you spend well within your means. Live a lifestyle that's not so extravagant. Doesn't mean you can't have fun, you can't do things. It just means if you want to get rich, it takes, the more you can sacrifice in the early years, the more money you're going to have in the later years. And it's hard to convince people of that, as you know. Let's talk to Robert in San Jose. How you doing, Robert?
I'm all right. Thanks for taking my call. I had a quick question for you.
Sure.
CFP, Charlie Frank Paul. I was just curious. So I understand the risks of these types of investments. It's got a high, I don't know if you call it a dividend rate or distribution rate, but whatever the term is.
Yeah.
It's really high. It's a fund of funds. And I know there's costs associated with that in terms of fees that are kind of built in, but I'm figuring 20%, I'm kind of offsetting that. But as far as other kinds of red flags, what would your opinion be on this? For a relatively short-term investment, like maybe a couple of years.
Okay, well, it's paying a 20% dividend yield right now, 20%. And everybody's going to look at that number and go, my God, I got to buy that. This is Cornerstone PR Pro Re- something, on a progressive return. I don't know what that PROG, I don't know what the whole word, what they're using. Return fund. This is a closed-end fund investing in U.S. equity securities, and there's no way that they can make 20% investing in U.S. securities on dividends. That's not going to happen. This just does not exist. So they have to be giving back your money to you. The money you invest in it, they're giving back to you in the form of a dividend. So that's how they're going, 20%. Now, this has moved from $5.40 in March down today at $4.61 today. So it's fallen sharply, and probably because it's too good to be true, and people think it can't do it. For me, I would not invest this, Robert. It's way too risky. There's no way. They're just giving back my own money that I have to now pay taxes on, my own money they're giving back to me. I invest the money in there. They give it back to me in the form of dividend. Now I got to declare that on my tax return. And really, almost all of it, my own money. So why do I want to pay taxes on it again? So I don't like it. It's just to let you know. I don't really care for it.
Okay.
Good luck, Robert. I hope it works for you if you do invest in it. CFP is a symbol, everybody. CFP. Time for Invest Talk 101. Your 401k, is it a good match? Most employers that provide a 401k plan also gives employees a 401k match. They usually match some of the money, you know, up to 4% or 2%, whatever. Some of them much more generous than that, but that would be more common. But the amount of these company contributions vary a lot, so you got to understand what they're matching. Vanguard did some research. It was published in the usnews.com just recently. The most common 401k match is 3%, okay, which is 37% of all employers. Okay, 3% is the most common match. The most common 401k matching formula is 50 cents for each dollar contributed up to 6% of the pay. And a quarter of employees use this formula. At least that's what Vanguard found out. Nearly half, 47% of the firms, require employees to save 6% of their pay in order to get the entire match. And 30% of the companies require savings to 4 or 5%. So they'll match you up to a certain amount. Then they stop matching. Okay? And also, when employers automatically sign workers up for a 401k plan, the most common default savings rate is 3% of pay. So in other words, when you sign up for a 401k plan, the default savings rate is 3%, meaning you're putting in 3% of your paycheck. And you can now obviously get out of that, change it to zero, or increase it. Please don't change it to zero. Always increase it. But that's the default. Okay? Now, if you stick with 3%, you're going to be missing out on some of the match if they do the normal matching. So you really should do at least 6%, at least. And but of course, it depends on your company's, what they're doing, you know, because each one can be different. And that's Invest Talk 101 about 401ks. If you have a question on this topic or any other money matters, you can check in, give me a call, 888-99-CHART, or you can send me an email, a personal email directly to me. Just click on the Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Steve and Justin give you an inside look at how the pros do it, the strategies and tools the professionals use to grow and protect money. That's just one of the recorded webinars that you can access anytime when you're an InvestTalk insider. Join up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
Hey, Steve, it's Michael from Rockaway, New Jersey, and I'm calling you because I'm interested in a stock for a biotech company called Celgene, C-E-L-G. It seems that it's at a good price, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on the company and the performance of the stock going forward. Thank you.
Celgene Corporation, and they are out of Summit, New Jersey. And I actually lived in Summit, New Jersey for at least a year. When I first moved back east out of college, it was my first place where I lived, and I took the Erie Lake and Wanna train into the into Hoboken, and then the Pat Tubes to the World Trade Center under the Hudson River. And that was kind of an interesting, it's a Wall Street area. It's kind of an interesting chapter in my life. Anyways, Summit, New Jersey is a beautiful place, by the way. And just so you know, New Jersey is called the Garden State for a reason, because it really is a pretty state. I know it doesn't have that image in most people's mind, but it is. Now, Celgene develops therapies to treat cancer, immune inflammatory related diseases, and uses genes and proteins. So it's been pretty darn successful. It's growing 17, 18, 21% per quarter. You know, so it's growing in the mid to high teens. Sales and earnings are growing 23% this year and 33% next year. So there's nothing that you can say about Celgene that's bad. Nothing. I don't want to say fundamentally it's very solid company. But you can say this. It's a bit pricey because all those great numbers, stock has gone up pretty strong. A few months ago, it was trading a little below 70, and today it's at 91. At the end of the year, it was trading at 86. So for the year, it's not up that strong. But now it's just this week. It made new 52-week, this last five day, trading days, it's made a new 52-week high. So now people are very interested in it. I would caution, it's going to make $4.89 next year. It's a $91 stock. So that's like, what, a 20 PE plus. Okay, and, you know, that's expensive. The five-year range is 13 to 29, and today is at 28 based on this year's earnings. But, you know, you always look forward at next year's earnings. Doesn't pay a dividend. Management owns 1%. Mutual funds have been net sellers in the last year. They've been selling it. Someone's pushing it up, but it's not the mutual funds. So I would be very careful because it's just made a new 52-week high. If you're going to buy it, it's a good, solid company. I mean, this is the kind of company you want to own, really do. If you're going to buy it because it has broken out means it's at new highs for the year, I would just be very careful and maybe have a pretty tight stop on it. Good, solid company. I like the company. Really like it. But you got to be a bit careful in this kind of market. So maybe put in, if you want to buy it, maybe put in half a position now. And see, if it pulls back to the $84 or $85 range, that looks like strong, strong support. That would be a better place to buy. But what if it doesn't go there? What if it keeps going up? You still buy some now. I like the company a lot. I really do. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you see the housing report, the housing home sales for China? Now, I know we had one for our markets here, which was a new construction report, which was better than expected. It's one of the reasons why the market did well today. Better than expected. But did you see the one in China? For 3 months in a row, and for this most recent month, sales have fallen, prices of homes have fallen in China. 3 months in a row. They haven't had that or seen that in years, just so you know. And they're getting pretty nervous about it. The government there does not. Housing, see, in China, and I don't know if you saw that 60-minute show a couple, 3 weeks ago about vacant cities, or empty cities, big, huge empty cities in China. But all the apartments, houses, their housing there is apartments, right? You buy an apartment. Almost all of them are sold. But they're empty. No one's living in them. Because middle class in China, the storage of wealth. They don't have a lot of opportunity to invest in something. So they've been investing in property, apartments. And it's been doing so well over the years. I mean, for years and years, they don't see it as a losing proposition. But now we have 3 months in a row with prices falling in the most recent month, falling stronger than the previous 2 months. And you're starting to see cancellation of construction projects. And this has been a fear of mine for a year, 2 years, that this has to stop somewhere, somehow. But China is such a closed system, it's hard to know how they're going to handle it, what they're going to do. Because they're going to do something different than we do. They'll have their own form of QE or whatever it is they're going to do about stopping. And we had a little hint of that. with the big construction companies going under. There's a financial company going under. But they came in and saved it. Only one default on bonds. One. The rest that so far, the few others that have had that happen, China's central government's coming and bailed them out. So how big is the problem is going to be, we don't know. This is the best offer. Call us, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, four 401k options when you change jobs. That's our talking point for the Wednesday, August 20th program. We hope you'll listen to that. And be sure to try our free risk analysis tool. It can tell you a lot, and it's right there on our website. Just look for the blue box on the homepage for free personal risk analysis on investtalk.com. This is Invest Talk, 1 hour of conversation about your money. Talk to Steve about any money matters. We move into the final segment of the day. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
888-99-CHART. Let's check our 24-hour listener line number, 888-992-4278. We'll try to answer this question now.
Hi, this is Phil from Oklahoma City. I listen to your program podcast, and I'd like your opinion of GE, General Electric. Thanks.
Well, this is the bluest of the blue chips, as we all know, GE, General Electric Corporation, out of Connecticut. And it manufactures transportation, energy generation, consumer appliances, industrial, and medical equipment. It's a worldwide company, $261 billion size. I mean, it's huge, mammoth, gigantic. It's going to make $1.83 next year, after making $1.68 this year, after making $1.46 last year. So it's going up and up 15%, 10%. Sales are slowly, I guess you could say, they're up 3% last quarter. The quarter before that, down 2. The quarter before that, they're up 3. The quarter before that, down 1, all percentage-wise. So kind of flat to slow growth, which is okay. Nothing wrong with that. And what's interesting is mutual funds are net sellers. There were 3,049 mutual funds a year ago September of 2013, and June of this year, 2,881, from 3,049 down to 2,881. So mutual funds are not buyers, they're sellers, and mutual funds own 24% of this company, GE. Does have a nice dividend, 3.4%. I like GE, but I'm gonna wait till I see it being cheaper for me. They have a 5-year PE range of 11 to 19, and it's at 17 right now. So it's a good, strong company. It'll never go away. You just want to buy it at the right price. If you're going to buy it for the dividend and you just want to ignore the price for 10 years, the stock for 10 years, you'll do well. You'll do very well. If you can do that, buy it, leave it alone for 10 years, you'll do very well. You're going to make 3.4% a year plus whatever appreciation you'll get over the next 10 years. And I'm sure you will have some. I'm positive. GE, General Electric. Have you ever heard of Bill Fleckenstein? He's president of Fleckenstein Capital. He was on Bloomberg TV recently. And, he's been around a while, and he's a pretty smart fella, and I do like listening to him. And as with every expert out there, you take them all with a grain of salt. You don't, I don't like to call myself an expert. I call myself a student of the market. But Bill Fleckenstein is a pretty smart guy. He says, quote, "There's no chance this will end well." He's talking about the stock market and the bond market. Bonds and stocks, he says, are a joke. All because of massive printing of money. So he said, either we have a boatload of inflation, or the bond market's going to crack, or the stock market's going to crack, or two of the three, or all three of three, something is going to happen. And he thinks that the Fed is probably going to step in there with a QE4 at some point. Now, one thing to bear in mind, he also says he has no idea when it will end. which I'm glad he said that, because he doesn't. Nobody knows. He has no idea when this stock market run will end. And I don't either. It could be another 2 years. It could be tomorrow. It could be, no one knows. But he is clearly saying that the market is going to fall. Now, do you remember Greenspan's irrational exuberant comment? Do you remember that way back when? He said that the market was irrational. Irrationally exuberant, the stock market was. And you would think that, oh, that must have been right before the dot-com crash. But no, it wasn't. It was 2 years before the dot-com crash. 2 years. So was he correct? Yes, he was. It was irrational exuberant. But you never know when that irrationalness will go away, when people will become rational. You don't know. No one knows. Long term, you know the stock market's going to go up. It will. It will. So it depends on you as an investor. Who are you? How do you feel about it? Before we close for the day, we will be doing our program this Thursday and Friday from the Money Show in San Francisco. Come by and say hello if you, and I'll be there. That's where I'm going to do the show from. The Money Show is at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square. I will be meeting listeners for individual retirement reviews at the hotel. If you'd like to schedule a time with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. Thanks for listening today. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP Financial, we hope you'll join us again tomorrow on Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.